Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, the tour was in Texas, but it was a golf beef for the ages, and even a little bit of Tiger Woods update as well that stole the headlines. So there were top stories in golf to get to, plus an award show starring a friend of the show and a legend in radio as well. A lot more to get to in Tuned In, and this week's guest, a friend of the show and artist and rapper Nick Moody. We've had him on, and we're having him on again because he's a great guy and a really talented artist. We're going to play some of his music, talk about life in New York City, and a whole lot more. All of it brought to you by our friends at Flight Scope. They're the makers of the Mevo unit that I've talked about week in and week out, and I talk about it over and over again because it is the real deal. It's pocket size. I bring it out to the range, I bring it to the backyard, and it's a really easy way to get your yardages, get dialed in for any practice session or get ready for a round. So again, it's the Mevo unit from Flight Scope Golf. Bryson, Bubba Watson uses it. Jeremy Nowak, the swing man as well too, the long driver, they like using the Flight Scope Mevo units to get their data as well. Our promo code is COL10 for 10% off your Mevo unit today from Flight Scope Golf.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Groove It Golf, and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas.
That's right.
It was a wonderful Sunday out there between Jordan Spieth and Jason Kokrak. Really, no one else mattered. There was good play all over the course, but it was all between Kokrak and Spieth in that final group.
Yeah.
And let's talk about one of the core values of the First Tee, who we're big fans of. Of course, we encourage everyone to give to the First Tee Greater Austin, which we have partnered with. And the core value we want to talk about is judgment, because Jordan Spieth seemed to push judgment aside and remain aggressive and have zero results on the yes. Sunday round.
Yeah, he was spraying it all over the place, to say the least. And I put judgment down because I was like, you know, it's a tricky position in golf when you're playing well and you're in a tournament like he was going into Sunday. But then you have a horrible range session before the final round. You're hitting it all over the map, and you got to realize that I have to go out here right now, no matter what. I don't feel good about my swing. I appreciate his effort for and his perseverance on that note for batting it around and keeping himself in contention as long as he did.
Yes.
But yeah, it was not pretty with the driver from Spieth, and definitely still his Achilles heel right now.
It really wasn't. And Jason Kokrak, who I don't think was really playing that much better on Sunday.
Not really, no.
at least was able to put his game together. And I did really appreciate that early on the round, he decided to take out a wood off the tee instead of the driver because he just didn't trust the driver, which
he
is something I'll do.
He can make sacrifices.
Exactly. Yeah. At the same time, though, that makes me feel good as a player out there that, you know, sometimes when the wood's not working for me off the tee because I don't usually play my driver, I go down to the hybrid. So it's good to know that the pros do that too sometimes.
I mean, it's just that swallow your pride moment that all golfers have a hard time doing. It's just backing off a little bit and knowing when you need to. It's that kind of precision that got it done for Kokrak. Again, like you said, he didn't have his A game, but he plotted when he needed to and made pars at the right moments and got the win by a couple. So shout out to Jason Kokrak for the win. He seemed ecstatic, and he's a guy that's now pretty much a fixture on leaderboard. So get used to seeing that name a lot more.
Second PGA Tour victory. He's now 5 in the FedEx Cup standings. Jordan Spieth, with his second place finish, did jump 1 point above Justin Thomas into second.
That was nice. Place, I mean, he's back. He's in good form. It's alarming when you see him have such great form for three rounds and then have that Sunday. It's just like, whoa, that driver can just like go at a moment's notice for him. So something to watch for.
It reminds me of something we were seeing a long time out of Phil Mickelson, where Phil would have, you know, 2 or 3 good rounds and not be able to put it together over the course of the weekend. And I did think Phil's reaction to his round on Thursday was really good when he was asked about it. He said, yeah, I didn't play that great, but I did win the PGA.
Oh, so yeah, he's going to look this thing for so long, Mike. Like, we're never going to hear the end of this, by the way.
No, never. Let's talk about something else that dropped right after we recorded last week's episode. I hope we never hear the end of this, because this is just gold right here. And that is the Brooks and Bryson drama unfolding on Twitter and social media, because this is just... Oh, this is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah. So for a quick context for everyone out there, Brooks Koepka, you know, kind of leading bro on the PGA Tour, bats it around, top five player in the world, doesn't give an F about anything or anyone really, just makes a lot of money playing golf. Bryson DeChambeau, the mad scientist, we've documented his crazy journey in finding perfection in the game of golf, which he thinks he can get closer to than anyone else in the world. He's beefed up. He sits a million miles. There's a little bit of a combativeness between those two guys. You know that there's definitely kind of a muscle measuring contest, if you will, for the PG-13 version of what I really want to say. But they're definitely a couple of big boys that are beefing over kind of superior ground of being the, you know, the head jock of the PGA Tour, it seems like right now.
Yes. And so there was a video that came out from an interview that was being done with Brooks Koepka, in which he was in the middle of an answer and Bryson and his crew walked behind it. I don't remember. I don't even know if we really heard what Bryson was saying.
A combination of what he said, we don't really know. But the fact that Bryson still wears metal spikes, so when he walks by on a cart path, feet away from someone else, you hear it. It's like... It's an unexplainable noise, but if you're a golfer, you know it. It's loud and annoying, and it can make you lose your train of thought.
And then Brooks just stops, does one of the best eye rolls I have ever seen, and just goes, "Oh, I hate that guy.
Can you tell I'm annoying?
I just can't with that guy." And what I love is that then, obviously we're recording this, so they weren't doing this interview live, and the reporter is like, "It's all right, we'll start over again. We're gonna have fun with this in Video Village later, you know, when all the guys are looking at it."
Yes.
And Brooks just straight up goes, "I don't care what you do with this."
Yeah, does not
and
care.
So, not all over the internet
right now.
All over the internet now, memes galore coming out of this, just great. And then the Twitter fight ensues.
Exactly. So the Twitter fight ensued because the match got announced in perfect timing. By the way, they dropped the next installment of the match, which is going to be Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady against Bryson and Aaron Rodgers. So Brooks Koepka jokingly replies on Twitter to Aaron Rodgers, "Sorry, bro. Sorry that you got paired up with Bryson. I really feel for you there." And Brooks Koepka immediately replies about how he enjoys living rent-free in Brooks Koepka's head right now. So the beef has officially ensued. It's taken over social media now. And this is a fun shot of adrenaline because you don't get a lot of adversarial talk that's so public in golf like this, especially with two players who are really at the top of their game too, which is what kind of makes this beef a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, you know, I don't think this is what the PGA Tour was thinking of when they offered an extra $40 million to players to do stuff on social media.
Yes, it was not. Did the PIP, the player incentive program there to get vocal on social media? Well, they got vocal real fast if you threw that money in front of them. The incentive was there, and they took it literally. So the tweet fight has ensued. All the world's hoping, because the tournament that could really do this in the next few weeks is the U.S. Open. They have the power to pair those two together on Thursday and Friday.
Oh,
they
please
have
do
the
it.
Power to do that in a few weeks. So I'm putting that out there in the universe, and hopefully that happens. Funny little tidbit. Jenna Sims, Brooks Koepka's fiance, actually owns like a clothing apparel store, and there's a coffee shop attached. And the barista there, I know you'll appreciate this, a former barista yourself, does some wonderful latte art, and actually did a latte with Brooks Koepka's angered face on top of the latte. And the next day served her a latte with Bryson DeChambeau's face. So just really playing games on her. A funny little tidbit from social media in the beef.
Can we backtrack for a second to the possible pairing, which I hope comes to reality at the US Open? Who would be the unlucky third?
Yeah, I mean,
that would be cool.
You can do so many things.
For that
you
could
really throw a wrench in the third too. I mean, oh god. I mean, DJ is a very predictable one. That because he just kind of falls in line with that whole theme of the big brute guys on the tour. Phil could be fun just to completely break ice and the tension in that beef right there. Like, maybe some first tee jokes from Phil that just kind of soften the blow.
Phil would be able to get the two of them to go into business together by the time the round was over. So
we're watching out for that pairing in the next few weeks, but stay tuned to social media. We'll be retweeting. I'm at Course of Life One and you're at MWRIC. Any further action in the Brooks versus Bryson beef?
The other big update that came out was an article coming up about Tiger Woods and his injury, which, as we said back when this happened, this is a career-ending injury. And he may not be handling it like a career-ending injury, but he is handling it correctly, where he's saying his number one goal right now is just to walk on his own.
That was the alarming kind of headline that came from this article written by Daniel Rappaport that I read through earlier this week. And he talks in pretty good detail, not much for Tiger. Yep. You never get a whole lot, but
typical Tiger.
Talks about his rehab being more painful than anything he's ever experienced. Yep. This is a whole different animal to him. You know, he has done reconstructive knee surgery and whatnot several times over, back surgeries, the whole deal. And even he is saying this is a whole different animal. Mm-hmm. Him saying that idea of him having his primary goal of just being able to walk again tells you that, you know, listen, we all want that path to be out there where we see Tiger Woods make a return to the game, but we just have to double that time frame that we have in our head right now. If we thought that was happening in the next 12 months, let's push that back a little bit and just be more conservative.
I can only relate in a sense of my dislocated ankle injury that I had and my broken leg.
That was a rough one.
It was non-weight bearing for 3 months. It took me another a couple months after that to really get back to being able to walk and stand on it consistently. It's still never going to be 100% again. And that was just a broken ankle. So, you know, his extensive leg injury, which would be
on the career,
it's not good. So he has the right goal in mind, where he's setting an obtainable goal and just being able to walk on his own right now. And he's not saying my goal is to win another major or play another golf tournament. He needs to make each goal in stride and make them obtainable to himself so he doesn't kill his mental state. And I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, depending on how long it takes him to get here and his next goal is just to be able to swing a club again, that we may not, I still don't know if we'll ever see him on tour again, but if there anyone is that we could see, it's going to be him.
The fun updates are he is still working on his upper body as shown by recent photos in which, yes, he is jacked with his arms. So that's still there. If nothing else is there in his body and his strength, JT texts with him regularly and he definitely sent some congratulations Phil's way for getting it done at age 50. So good to hear that update from Tiger.
Exactly. Let's talk about the Korn Ferry Tour, because 8 rounds in a row for this guy.
Jesus, Cameron Young, the leader and now back-to-back champion, won 2 weeks in a row on the Korn Ferry Tour. Very impressive stuff for a guy that had little status just recently, and we love highlighting these stories. Unfortunately, our friends Ryan French and Mark Baldwin did not make the cut this week in Illinois. It was crazy out there. I don't know if you saw any of the tweets, but they were playing in like 50-degree weather with rain and just sideways wind. Not a fun time, especially when you're trying to grind it on the Korn Ferry Tour. Horrible conditions.
I mean, if you're going to be good, you got to be able to play good in these conditions, though. Yeah. I hate to say it, but you got to figure it out, guys.
How horrible the conditions were. And then I'm like, oh, let me go check the leaderboard. I was like, oh, 5 guys shot 6 under. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess it really doesn't matter how crappy the weather is. These guys really are that good. So impressive stuff from Cameron Young getting back-to-back Ws.
Let's also talk about the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship. I would have loved to see Phil play in this tournament so he could have won, you know, the PGA and the Senior PGA in the same year. That just would have been great. But instead, we have Alex Sajak. I'm saying his name wrong. I can never say anyone's name right on this podcast, Alex. Say it for me because I just can't do it right.
Alex Chica.
Floating
around in the last year or so. This guy has not won on the PGA Tour in years. Just an absolute grinder. And he just got his first win on the Champions Tour a couple weeks ago. And he's just absolutely flowing right now. So it's good to see a guy, again, that had little to no status as of just recently. Now he's going to be a mainstay on the Champions Tour for a while.
Yeah, pretty good to go ahead and claim this victory at the KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship, and to take it away from your usual guys that you would think would be winning out there. So.
Yeah, I know. I saw Daly was hitting some one-handed wedges out there last week, and he's still kicking around. Mike Weir was on the leaderboard, who's been a fixture on all Champions Tour leaderboards as well. But yeah, no, it's impressive stuff. And Alex Chica, just kind of a lifelong grinder that's absolutely played anywhere during the pandemic. He was playing on the Outlaw Tour when things were real crazy last year. So the guy will tee it up anywhere, and now he doesn't have to worry about where he tees it up week to week.
Let's talk about the LPGA. We're actually recording this podcast awfully early for us because someone, Alex, decided to go on a Mexican vacation.
Yeah, I know. Alex. It's going to be real tough. Yeah, it was a rough decision, but I had to make it. Yeah.
Yeah. But going on right now out there in Las Vegas is a Bank of Hope LPGA match play hosted by Shadow Creek. They really got to shorten the names of some of these tournaments.
Yeah.
And right now it's the final pairing out there right now, Allie Ewing and Sofia Popov. And Ewing is up two up through six. Go America.
Yeah, and you remember Popoff was the one who got that really surprise win at the Women's British Open last year. Again, going from just absolutely no status and being a caddy on the LPGA Tour at one point a year or two ago. So she's, again, a mainstay. And it just shows you all these examples that we've tallied up here, how, you know, golf careers have very interesting ebb and flows, and there's just absolutely no logic or reasoning to the timing of when a golf career hits and peaks. People peak at all different points in their life in this game, and that's what makes it so great.
And exactly. And that's why we also think everyone should give to the First Tee. And we've partnered with the First Tee of Greater Austin to help promote everything they do. And you can give to them at firstteeaustin.org/partners or firstteeaustin.org/donate and give and tell them we sent you.
Yeah, and this goes for any First Tee out there as well, too. Mm-hmm. They're doing summer camps at pretty much every city outpost they have of the First Tee across the country. So search your local chapter, get back to them, sign your kid up for summer camp if you want. Really great opportunity. And I'm looking forward to profiling the camps next month as well.
Let's take a quick look at the next weekend on the PGA Tour. They're going to the Memorial at Jack's Place. Always a fantastic field. John Rahm, the defending champion. We're really early on looking on who we think is going to win this week at Memorial. But who you got? What are you thinking?
This might be back to a Xander Schauffele week, a guy who I took a lot, who just hasn't been around on leaderboards the last few. So I'll be looking at his odds as well, too. It's a great field, like you mentioned, JT, Bryson, Morikawa, a whole bunch more. Patrick Reed's a guy I've been trying to pick the last couple of weeks. He had a casual miscut at Colonial, but he's got a good history at this course as well, too. Is it time for Will Zalatoris to pop back up on a leaderboard? Maybe. He took like a week or two off there, so he could be due for a nice finish as well, too. So check out our picks on Twitter Wednesday evening. I'm at Course of Life 1 again. You're at MWRINC to see who we go with at the Memorial.
Remember, though, we love Will Zalatoris and we want him to win, but we would love nothing more than to not see him win at all this season and still make the Ryder Cup.
I do appreciate the alternate storyline where he is doing as much as humanly possible in golf without any official PGA Tour status.
Yes, I just think it would be fantastic.
The Corn Ferry Tour, the GOAT.
It would be, exactly. Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. You know, I'm always about 6 months behind the world in a lot of things, Alex. And now that I also have a week off of vacation, I'm not going to Mexico, but I am taking a staycation for a week.
Nice. Love it.
I decided to finish WandaVision today and watch the last three episodes, and it was as fantastic as everyone said it was.
There is something special, and don't get me wrong, I love the position I'm being going on the vacation I'm going on, but there's something special about having days off where you actually just don't have any plans, and you can just do nothing, and it's okay. And there's something very special about those days, so this is going to be a prime binging week for you. It sounds like you're going to be tuned to do a lot of things come next week as well.
I think it is. There's other little things I'm going to do during the week. I'm going to try to get out and play golf at least once during the break as well. But yeah, finished WandaVision. That means now I feel comfortable going and watching Falcon and Winter Soldier. We'll see what other shows are out there that I need to finish up. But yeah, you know, it's going to be a great week on the couch.
I think I'm itching to get back to a movie theater soon, too. Looking forward to seeing what comes out in the near future for releases, and hopefully I can get back out to one soon. I was tuned into a friend of the show, though, who we had on recently, because this is something really cool that the host and the media member in myself has always dreamed of doing something like this. And our buddy Maxwell from Z100 got to do it, Mike. He hosted the red carpet special for the iHeartRadio Music Awards, which is awesome, because you know those red carpet shows are just a revolving door of all the biggest celebrities in music. He got to interview, he got to talk with Elton John, he got to talk with Usher, everyone else there who was performing. Just super envious. And shout out to Maxwell, because he absolutely crushed it in the hosting duties. It was good to see him out there.
And just to have the knowledge to be able to interview all these people that come up to the carpet and recognize them, because, you know, I'm old. I don't know who's hot anymore. And I, you know, so I see some of these people, I'm like, who is, I don't know who that is.
Yes, he can talk to Elton John. He can talk to 18-year-old Olivia Rodrigo, and he can talk to Usher all at the same time.
All at the same time. That would be actually an impressive group conversation to have.
It was great to see the performances. Shout out to iHeart and our buddy Maxwell. Check the podcast archives if you're interested in listening to that or any of our past guest interviews as well.
Let's get into this week's guest. Speaking of past guests on the podcast, we're bringing back one of our favorite rapper and artist, Nick Moody, friend of the show. He's a big New York sports fan, like moi.
Talked a little Knicks. Yeah, we talked a little Knicks as well. Yep.
I'm excited to hear his new releases and the videos he's putting out and all this cool stuff he's got working.
Yeah, so it's Mad that you're going to hear as well. And you're also going to hear a really cool track that he did specific to the service industry, which I know you and I are talking a little bit more about in terms of our new food podcast, Always End With Food. So really interesting chronicles, not only on his music, but life from Nick Moody.
We'll get in an interview with Nick in just a moment. But first, as always, we want to let you know that this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Desert Fox team is based in Arizona, so they know golf, and the Phone Caddy is crafted by both golfers and engineers. The Phone Caddy is unique because it mounts right onto your golf cart in seconds in a place where you can actually see and use your phone, keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy from Desert Fox. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. Works seamlessly with almost any phone model, and it's a perfect gift for your dad for Father's Day.
That's right.
Right around the corner. It's time to get something for him. Time is running out. You don't want to wait. Save 10%. We're going to give you savings so you can put more money in your pocket to spend on the round of golf you're going to take your dad
to. That's right.
So you can take him to a nicer course. So use our promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com. Get 10% off your phone caddy. So many awesome colors. Also, they're patriotic lines. You can show your support. Again, it's promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10% at DesertFoxGolf.com. Again, COURSEOFLIFE is a promo code at DesertFoxGolf.com. Head on over there. Get your dad a Desert Fox phone caddy today.
Next up, we are joined by a past guest who delivers some of the most unique audio and visual projects I've seen in hip hop. A new release detailing his day-to-day life in the service industry as well, too. It's NYC-based rapper and artist Nick Moody joining the Course of Life. Nick, it's good to have you back on, man. How are things with you?
Everything's good, man. Appreciate you having me on here. It's been a wild year, but I'm looking forward to what's going on next. So
I know, right? So last time we spoke, for people who don't remember, was like the height of quarantine. It was spring 2020. There was a lot of uncertainty and we weren't sure what the future was looking like in terms of from New York where you're at. You know, a lot of people were doing the wondering if New York was dead or alive at the last time we spoke, but I feel like NYC might be back real soon now. What's your vibe there in New York as we head into summer 2021?
Yeah, I mean, every time I go to the city, it's there's people just everywhere enjoying life a little bit. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be a fun summer. So I know everybody thinks that the city's down, but if you just, all you got to do is watch the next one game and you see that we're still here. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be good.
Yeah, great scene. And that crowd at Madison Square Garden, you know, we were just talking in the last few podcast episodes about hearing the roars of crowds coming back to different sports. That's the one in basketball for me. That's one of the top three pops when you get that roar from Madison Square Garden. So it's definitely special to see the Knicks back in the postseason.
Oh, yeah, man. I can't wait to see what the Knicks do in this postseason. So, you know, any kind of fun moment or positive play, that we're going to go nuts and people are looking to heckle and go crazy. So it's going to be interesting when sports get a full swing. Hoping baseball gets on that same wave soon too.
Definitely. Yeah. So I saw the grind never stop for you this past year, though. You were still hard at it with everything you're doing, including music as well, too. And one thing I want to highlight, which I thought was really cool from a sports perspective, I saw that you got to collaborate with an MMA fighter, and we spoke about it briefly. I always loved your music for kind of being really motivation, you know, walk up type music. Right. And it seemed like you actually got to put that to life. Tell everyone a little bit about what that experience was like.
Oh, it was amazing. I got to work with Aljamain Sterling, who's, I guess he's the interim bantamweight champion right now because he won on a technicality. But, you know, we made that video like well before he even got that fight. He had a couple fights before that even, and then the other fight got canceled a couple times. But, you know, just being in the gym with him, see, I got to spend like a full day with him and like go from, he worked with us on the video and then I drove him to another training session, and just seeing what he does on the daily is just motivational, man. Everything from down to what he eats to the way, you know, the way he approaches every single workout, from cardio to weightlifting to the MMA jiu-jitsu stuff. it was really, really fun. I got to like mess around with him a little bit in the ring too. And
Did you hold up in there?
He hit me with like a 20% kick and I felt it for 3 weeks. And you know, I'm like,
I bet
100 pounds heavier than this guy. I'm like, oh, geez. But yeah, I love MMA. That's something that like kind of came on during the quarantine just because it was the only thing to watch. I mean, I've always liked it. I was always a Conor McGregor fan, just the way that he approached fights. And I love the mindset of fighting, you know what I mean? And the preparation that you guys have to do and how they train their minds to build their confidence and stuff like that. So the chance to kind of bridge the gap with a song, because yes, I do make like rather aggressive hype up music. So I thought it was, you know, a perfect parallels. And it was fun. It was fun. Aljamain's a great guy. I'm looking forward to him taking the title rightfully when he gets to fight next. Yeah, he just had neck surgery though, so it might be a minute. But okay. it should be interesting. I know he's a really, really great guy and great to be around.
And if anyone else is a fighter out there and they got a fight coming up, this is your soundtrack right here. Is listen to some Nick Lillian and pick your poison for the soundtrack as you walk up. But I appreciate you talking about training and training for the fight and whatnot, because something really interesting I saw on your social media, you know, you get ready for lots of different ciphers and freestyle sessions that we see on all different parts of the internet. One thing that I was really curious about is you actually documented your prep for these ciphers and freestyles, and you had the help of your family kind of like throwing things at you, yelling at you. I'm curious, how did this all start with the family prepping you like that?
I just, you know what it was? One time I did a show and I had a couple too many drinks before the set and I did not remember my words. And I was like, this can never happen again, because I ended up freestyling all the songs, which was fine at the time because nobody really knew who I was. But now you got people paying for a ticket coming to watch, you know, listen to a song that they like. You want to make sure that you got it. And I just do anything that I can to prepare. I like to recite my lyrics when I'm working out too. Like when I do a workout and I'm running and like I have no breath, if I can get through a verse or at least part of it when I'm in the midst of a workout, it's second nature when you have full breath standing on a stage. And I did the same with, you know, my family, just heckling me and saying whatever they can to kind of distract me, throw things at me and what have you, to kind of prepare, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, sometimes, and this happens a lot in like the battle rap realm of stuff, you'll get a reaction on something that you might not necessarily think will get a reaction, or vice versa, you won't get a reaction on something you think will land.
Got you. Yeah.
Sometimes that can throw you off. You know what I mean? Especially when you're in the middle of, you know, a crowd of people or just rapping on the street or whatever it is. So I always try to make sure that I'm ready and I have full preparation on anything, because that just makes me more comfortable when I'm rapping. You know what I mean? I like to get in the zone. I like to get in the moment and show a little passion. So, you know, anything I can do to help prepare myself for that, I do. So,
yeah. And who's a harsher critic than your family member, right? To try and rally you off your game. So that's the ultimate test.
Oh, so. Yeah. All they do is bag on me. So,
yeah, you're used to that, definitely. One thing I wanted to talk about, which was the coolest project I saw you put out, in my opinion, in the past year. I want to get into the music video for Mad. We're going to play that song on this week's episode as we run this interview. But first, just talk to me about the concept in and of itself. The concept in the one sentence I put on it is, it feels like you're walking through like a house of horrors. But I know you probably had a much grander idea when you put things together. What were the first ideas for the song in the video specifically?
Well, that song was just fun and had such carnival vibes to me. Just the din-din-din-din, it kind of gave me that feeling. And when I was in the studio working on the song, I went right to Are You Mad? And I started playing around with that kind of Mad Hatter kind of vibe, that Wonderland kind of vibe, because it's, you know, that's part of what I love. I love that those kind of Willy Wonka or Mad Hatter kind of characters that are just, you know, wonky and out there. And the video kind of came together in that way. I was in that situation. You know, I just woke up in somebody's garage. You know what I mean? I've been that guy before at a party.
Yes.
And never. So I figured, you know, why don't we get together? Let's dress up a garage as best we can. You know what I mean? Kind of DIY kind of style, and do it ourselves and bring in as many talented and fun people as we can. And a lot of those people were my friends. So it came together really nicely. It's hard to plan these things just because of scheduling. So that was a bit stressful. But once we had everybody in the room, the vibes were just great. You know what I mean?
Very cool. And it's Nick Moody _ N-I-K Moody _ on Instagram. And you documented the actual set design, which I appreciated as well, too. Tell me about this garage set. You went step by step and showed us what you were working with. But what was the actual time lapse on that process?
Well, I started that probably 3 days before the shoot. And I just chopped away at it like 3-4 hours at a time. And we moved everything out. We moved everything in. And then we put the lights up. And then by the time to shoot, we put the blue lighting on. It gave it the, you know, that nice kind of Wonderland tint. And, you know, everybody was having a lot of fun. And I couldn't say enough about how much fun it was to actually shoot it. It came kind of rather easily when we were all there. And that was fun, you know what I mean? Because that's what it's about. It's about, you know, showing off that energy. And everyone in that room had a good energy. I've been on sets before where they, you know, people act like divas or don't want to be a part of it, but everybody seemed like they wanted to be a part of it. Everybody posted it afterwards. So I'm super proud of that. It's probably my best release so far. So
that's great. Yeah. I'm glad it's getting the reception it deserves. And the costumes, were those just all Moody family wardrobes, or did we go thrift shopping for all those outfits? Because there were some elaborate looks in the video.
I actually had literally all of those clothes. I went to like Party City and like added a couple accessories, maybe. That little flower on me. My friend Lexi, who dresses as a Mad Hatter, I think she went thrift shopping for that getup. That hat I had because I just love the Mad Hatter. It actually hangs in my room. So it was great. You know what I mean? The original idea was to have like it be like a soiree party, like you know, kind of like swanky even in a garage, because I thought that would have been a good, you know. Juxtaposition, but it just ended up being just completely bizarre with the way people showed up. So we just went with it and we had fun.
And turning tables, I want to get into, which gets into kind of your day-to-day sacrifice that you go through in order to pursue this dream of yours in hip hop. Talk to me a little bit about kind of how everything has worked for you, you know, in the past year being in the service industry and kind of balancing everything going on in your life as well.
Well, it's been kind of an up and down process. When COVID first hit, the restaurant kind of shut down. So we had to, you know, I had kind of uncertainty of where I was going to be financially and stuff like that. So I had to, you know, I left my apartment and stuff like that. But it bounced back really, really strong. And luckily, I'm at a popular place. So we've been doing good. We've been doing really, really good. And it's been able to support what I want to do with the music, especially as an up and coming artist who doesn't have the budget and the finances that a lot of these guys have. You got to kind of find a way to start that up and still have the time to be able to make the music and make the videos and go to the shows and stuff like that. So it's a delicate balance. Sometimes, you know, it falls too hard on one of the ends. Sometimes you work too much, sometimes you too much music, but you know, you balance it out as best you can. And this past year was no different. Just obviously higher stakes.
I respect the grind and the perseverance that you've had to do that alongside all the music and content that you've been creating in this past year as well, too. You stayed real busy. And one lyric I want to highlight specifically in that Turning Tables track and concept that you laid out regarding your time in the service industry is Karen's wanting extra cheese. So I'm guessing that's a common request that you're getting at the restaurant. What's the most annoying thing to you? Is it the more bread, the drink refills, the extra cheese? What is it that gets at you that really tests your patience in the service industry?
Just rude people that, you know, you'll go to the table, introduce yourself, and they'll be like, I want a Diet Coke. And I'll be like, okay, I don't exist. You know what I mean? Like, just people treat you more like a servant. And I guess, you know, we want to give you a good time. We want you to have a good experience. I always say it all the time that, you know, older people, this is their whole day when they go to a restaurant. So you want to kind of treat it as such and make sure people are enjoying it. But at the same time, there's no reason to treat people like that. You know what I mean? So that's when what really gets under my skin. That's the stuff that makes you turn around and be like, why am I doing this? But at the end of the day, it's all because, you know, I have a dream. You know what I mean? I want to make this music thing happen. And for me, this is what works. This is where my life took me. So I try to remind myself of that every day when I go in there, because this is not my be all end all. It's my means to an end.
Definitely. I appreciate that. And for everyone who's getting back out there for the first time in a while, getting back out and dining out, be nice to the server. You know, it's all good. We're all getting back into the world at the same time here.
We've been working this whole time.
Yeah, I know. You've been working this whole time. It's good to see things are fully reopening restaurant-wise. Let's talk about music-wise, though, how good this must feel for you. I know you thrive off the audience, that face-to-face interaction. You're very interactive with the music you put out, your shows and your videos and everything like that. Well, what does the timeline look like for you to get back out on stage, and what sort of plans do you have for shows now that things are starting to open up slowly?
Well, opportunities are starting to come in every now and then. You know, it looks like July is going to be a busy month for me, just hopping around doing different things. Just the timeline of my music, my album will be coming out in September. So I'm planning to do a couple tours, hit a couple cities and different things like that. I'm probably going to be going out to the UK for a tour because that's where my manager is. And I have a solid fan base out there. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun summer. I'm going to try to do as many shows as I can. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Lately, it's been a little shaky with shows just because, you know, that restriction is still kind of there. So a lot of shows have been talked about, scheduled, and then canceled. And
right.
So I'm kind of been wary of that for now. But it's looking like end of June, July, things should be back in full swing. So just preparing for that.
And for UK, is that your first trip over there just period, or first over trip over there for music, or what?
It's my first trip over there period. I met my manager that lives over there in the States. So yeah, it's going to be really, really, really fun. I know I have a good group of people that I know just through communicating online out there. And she's helped me grow a bit of a fan base out there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like. You know, I don't know what a London crowd is. So I'm definitely intrigued. I can't wait to get out there. We've been talking about it for a really long time, especially during quarantine. So
that should be new frontier. No, that's exciting for you. Again, it's Nick Moody, Nick Moody _ on Instagram. Great follow and amazing content and music putting out regularly from him. You're a New York guy, so I got to touch on something real quick. The New York Knicks are back in the playoffs. I know you're a big Knicks fan. Talk to me about what that vibe has been like. It's been great just to see Madison Square Garden rocking again, but is there a little bit of life in the city in terms of the basketball fans there?
It certainly seems that way. The way the garden was last night was berserk. So people, you know, the city in general has been picking up a bit, and the restrictions are dropping. So people are feeling more comfortable, the vaccine. So I can't wait. I can't wait to see what the Knicks can do. It's a gritty team. They really take on the personality of New York very well. So hopefully they get the job done in Atlanta, come back and close this thing out, and we don't have to see Trae Young's ugly face anymore.
That's right. Yeah, man. Love that. Yeah, you guys are getting all over him in that series. I appreciate the Knicks fans getting after it at the Garden. It's good to see. Good for the soul of the sports fan as well, too. One other thing I want to shout out, because my co-host who's not on with us today is a big media production guy. And I know he really appreciates the camera work on your videos. I love the production that went into that Mad Music video in the garage that you redid yourself. Why don't you shout out kind of your crew and everyone else that was involved in that video and the hours that went into something like that?
Yeah, it's my boy Luke DeCola, Luke DeCola Productions. We've been doing it for a while. This is like our 10th or 11th video. A lot of them aren't on YouTube anymore, but you know, we started together. And when now he's grown himself into having a nice production company, and he stays very, very busy with his work. And there's not a lot of people that I know that have a work ethic like him. So whenever we get together, we know it's going to be something fun, something innovative. The next one we have planned is certainly ambitious. So I can't wait for that to come together and see if it works. Cause I always come to him. He knows when I call him that it's going to be something ridiculous.
Oh crap. What do you got in store for me now, Moody?
Exactly. He's like, well, I want to decorate a garage and have the Mad Hatter dance in it. He's like, okay, bro. Like, so, yeah, man, he's great. He's one of my best friends too. So, and it's kind of come through the work that we've become friends. It's been a really good thing. And all I can hope is that the budgets get bigger and, you know, I can give him a little bit more money so he doesn't have to keep giving me the homie discount, you know? So,
yes,
that's my guy. And we've been doing it for a while. I got a lot of people that helped me, you know, Paul Warren, who took photos behind the set. James Fisher, who was the second camera on that shoot, who's been involved in a lot of my shoots, and my good friend Yassine, who does some of my other videos. Not all of them are Luke. So, yeah, I've been blessed in that regard. It's just people that I've met along the way, you know, people you meet in person. That's a really what I consider a solidified connection. You know, you meet people online and it doesn't always pan out. But you know a person's true colors when you meet them in person and they're a fan of what you do. So, yeah, we're just trying to keep that train rolling.
Love that. We're big fans of what you do here on The Course of Life. Love following along and looking forward to more content and music releases from you as we get out of this pandemic era in 2021. It's great to have your motivational music. Again, it's Nick Moody joining The Course of Life. And thanks so much for hopping on again.
Thank you, man. I appreciate what you guys do here. And it's been some great podcasts we've had. We're on number two now. Hopefully number three will be sitting in a different position.
We are. Well, one day at a time, Nick. Thanks again, man.
Appreciate you, man.
That interview with Nick Moody is brought to you by our friends at Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush. You've seen it on the bags of tour caddies and your favorite athletes and golf personalities on social media, and it's the brush to get for Father's Day for 2021. The brush's patent and pump sprays water or cleaning solution right onto the club face for you, making it quick and efficient to clean clubs or even your golf ball in seconds. The Groovit brush includes a detachable magnet so you can bring the brush to the club head instead of the club head to the brush. And the Groovit brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. That means if you can wear out the brush head cleaning clubs in 3 years, set it back, Groovit will get you a free replacement. So prepare for your dad to be amazed with the consistency and control that Clean Grooves will give him. Using his existing clubs of the Groovit, he'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency he's looking for. So head on over to grooveitbrush.com to get your dad a Groovit brush with free shipping in the U.S. Again, that's grooveitbrush.com. Get your dad a Groovit brush today.
Well, say it ain't so. Look at who's banging on the door. It's the same lame hoes in the same plain clothes. Trying to tell me game high, but I gotta lay low. Ask why? Well, cause I say so. Tell me, are you mad? Why you gotta do me like that? Tell me, are you mad? I thought you already knew that.
Let me tell you something. I just woke up in somebody's garage. I drink till it's gone, and now I gotta deal with the cons. Man, what are the odds? There's 7 digits stuck to my palm. I needed to run, but I'm Jacob to Grom, and I keep calm, and I keep on. On the rise, know that I'm doing this for eons. Neon, I'm blowing up, I got my freak on. Leon, I'm burning bridges in my Nissan. My seat's warm, but they seize, mama. Hey, dude, I don't wanna hate you. Let me call the shots like a Babe Ruth. Running for the Grey Goose, throw it at the ground, let me break through. My main squeeze, don't whine, she the grapefruit. Take two, fake news, I don't take safe routes. I'm in Aria, I can go and change face to pay dues, coming in full and they crazy. Trust me, the money won't save you. Are you mad? Why you gotta do me like that? Tell me, are you mad? I thought you already knew that. Let me tell you something. I forgot to tell you how I escaped this dude with a gauge. I found me in a bit of a rage. I told him to pray. I even said to light up the sage. I really think he's only pissed cause he made minimum wage. He's giving me hell. I told him hell should give him a raise. He chased me around, but that is not a winnable game. I had to persuade this dude with trying to rip off my face. And that's it. I convinced him I was Nicolas Cage. And damn bounce. I could turn a rat to a mouse. I'm the Mad Hatter of the rap game now. You're a pinata at a halfway house. I just hit you with a bat and the facts came out. Jackson, I be like, oh, she don't like that one. Now she want gold, fingers crossed in the air. So you know, tell me, are you mad? Why you gotta do me like that? Tell me, are you mad? I thought you already knew that. Let me tell you something.
And we're back. Great chat there with Nick Moody, coming out there with Mad by him, his new one. And be sure to check out that video on YouTube as well.
Yes, this video is wild. I love the Mad Hatter theme and how he reconstructed that garage. It was cool asking him how that all came together. And I just love catching up with Nick. He's a great guy. He's extremely talented. He deserves a lot more attention, and great to chat with him. So it's always fun having return guests on the show. If there's any other return guests that you've heard previously that you would like to hear, be sure to hit us up on Instagram or Twitter, at COL Podcast on Instagram. I'm at Corsa Life One on Twitter. You're at MWRINC. And be sure to subscribe to YouTube if you like watching us in video form. Full episodes there and vlogs coming at you very soon. So stay tuned.
Awesome. Let's hashtag always have the food.
Yeah, it's time to. Brought to you by our friends at Toasty Snacks, makers of the Toasty Bites. We love them out on the golf course, but you can use them pretty much anywhere. It's the great on-the-go snack that you never knew you needed. They don't melt, and they have great flavors. That's the key part. Awesome. You know, almond, peanut, dark chocolate, cashew, coconut. They got that dragon fruit flavor as well, too, that I've tried. That's a real special one as well. I love the variety. They're healthy. They're in golf courses around the country. You can get yours with promo code COL20 for 20% off, or just head to toasty.com/COL. So it's a vacation week, like I mentioned, for me upcoming. Yep. When you hear this, I'm going to be in paradise. The fun part about this is that you all get to follow along. It's always End With Food Pod on Instagram, and you can see all the wonderful pics of these fantastic dinners I'm going to be having. Mm-hmm. Going to get some cool drinks out there. And this is the tough part, Mike, is it's tricky because there's like 7 or 8 different restaurants at the resort, and you want to hit them all. But then once you hit a couple and you have amazing meals, you're like, oh, I just want to go back there and do it again. But you have to have the diligence to check them all off, you know?
Yeah. You know, let's just all say it out loud together with you here, Alex. We're jealous. We hate you for it. And everything you post on the new Always Some of the Food Pod Instagram page is going to make us more jealous and hate you even more. So next week when we get back together on this podcast, I'm going to share our hatred.
That's fine. And comment on Always End With Food Pod about how jealous you are and how much you hate the life that I'm living this week. Mm-hmm. Some highlights. You're going to see some octopus, which I'm looking forward to trying.
Mm. I like octopus. You've never had octopus before?
I think I have, but not quite like I'm about to have it this week from the pictures I'm seeing. There's going to be escargot at a seafood restaurant as well, too. I've had snails at a French restaurant. These look pretty good. There's an Italian restaurant, Mexican place. There's all sorts of great options. Poolside sports bar, Mike, for my Bruins and Celtics action. So can't go wrong. And obviously the fruity colored drinks that are like, you know, 3 or 4 different shades. I love those. Those are my favorite.
How many different umbrellas are you going to have in your drinks? That's the question.
Umbrella, cherry, orange slice. That's when you know you're doing it right. And it's true poolside drink. So look forward to many of those on the AEWF feed. And tune in to this past week's episode, our first as well, with KGB. BBQ to get a feel for what the food podcast is like.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I feel like everything I did is like worthless now compared to going to Mexico.
Yeah, but I saw the bread adventures continue with you. The last update was you did some amazingly attractive looking hamburger buns. Mm-hmm. But I saw something else on your Instagram feed at MWRINC this past weekend, correct?
Yeah, I just today actually decided to make some bread. So I've made this before. This is a simple white country bread with a poulish, which is where you kind of let a lot of the flour and water and a little bit of yeast kind of sit overnight, and it just starts to ferment that way. Get a little bit of funk to it, and then finished it up. It's really, I mean, bread is really easy to make. I don't know why people are scared of making bread by themselves. It took me maybe less than 10 minutes of actual physical time working with this bread. You just need to budget your time correctly. And you need to scale. That's the other thing.
I think the wait time and the budget is what steers people away. The budgeting of time. Like, and you just said it, though, there's actually not a lot of really labor putting into the process. It's just doing it at the right moment.
Yeah. And this particular booklet I'm using, flour, water, salt, yeast, actually does a great job and says if you do it, if you start at this time, so like since this was done the night before, if you start at like 8 p.m., and then it tells you at 8 a.m. do this, at 10 a.m. do this, at 11 a.m. do this. So it helps guide you through the timing.
Yeah,
exactly. I've yet to screw anything up.
I love that. Awesome. Good stuff. That was hashtag always in with food. Be sure to check out the food podcast as well and tune into future episodes of Course of Life coming at you. I'll enjoy my vacation. We'll see you on IG. Everyone have a great week.